I entitled my message this week, Danger! Danger! Now, I'm an old-timey. Judy says, I don't remember some of the programs that you remember, but I remember a program that was called Lost in Space. And I was looking this morning at the video of the new Dragon capsule that went up, and four ordinary people trained to be astronauts. I think they are kind of nuts, but I don't think I'd want to go up there, but that might be fun. And doing their spacewalk. And I was reflecting, I'm old enough and was blessed to stay up all night when we went to the moon. And I watched that. And to see the difference in the technology and all that stuff is really incredible. But you know, we have such a wonderful thing called the Holy Spirit. And when we pay attention to Him, He'll say, danger, danger, pay attention, child of God. Well, in the series Lost in Space, Will Robertson was out walking around as they were lost in space, and he had a robot that followed him around. And whenever the robot would see some danger, he would warn, danger, Will Robertson, danger. Well, for those who are too young to remember that show, Lost in Space, it was a precursor to Star Trek that told the stories of the Robertson family in their outer space time adventure. Well, this robot, as a large metal contraption with harmonica-like arms, is programmed to protect Will Robertson by warning him and others of impending danger in the unknown environments that they find themselves. Now, in the 60s, it was a time of exploration, as you know. People of courage and daring to venture into unknown, a curiosity and adventure. Some of us might remember the impact of the actual space program. And meanwhile, television mimicked the Zygus culture with shows like Lost in Space and Star Trek and Superman and all the other Marvel superheroes of the comics. I wish I remember what I did with all them comics. I understand comic books now are very, very much in desire, and they become very valuable, but I don't remember where they are. Anyhow, I digress. Today, we watch similar kinds of shows and movies about the Avengers and James Bond and Star Wars and other action-packed adventure stories that sort of capture that sense of thrill and adventure. But then we go home from the movies to our safe and secure home, and thank God it was only a movie. Our sense of adventure for real life often wanes in the face of adversity. We in the church, while we claim to be mission-oriented, have become in reality mostly mission-adverse. Our inner warning signal goes off every time we think about going out into the communities and talking about Jesus. Well, we might as well be lost in space, for that's how many of us feel about our culture right now. It feels like a strange and dangerous environment in which we don't know who's out there, who will react to a hostile situation, or who may challenge us or trash us or put us down for our Christian beliefs. Our decreased tolerance for risk-taking keeps us happier to be secure in our sanctuaries. Then out in the midst of the world, proclaiming the gospel, it's scary out there, you know. Discipleship is a risky business, have you heard me say before, but it's a joy to be a disciple of the living God. So Jesus doesn't argue the point. Not at all. In fact, he spends a good time making sure that his disciples know just how dangerous their future path is as his disciples, as we shared in the scripture reading. They will face persecution, pushback, danger, torture, rejection, banning, and even death, yet he encourages them to do it. Go, guys. That's the first part of the gospel. Go. Why? Because God's message of hope to humanity is that important. And Jesus' sacrifice and promise of hearts changed, a world transformed, and a future life promised is that important. God's mission is so important that Jesus spent 3 years training who he believes will have the courage to undertake it. He didn't simply put out a sign saying, wanted 60 able-bodied people willing to risk their lives for faith and community. No, he chose his disciples carefully. He cultivated them. He taught them. He discipled them. He nurtured them. He motivated their hearts and lit a fire in their souls for the mission of love that God wants to present to the world. And then, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he set them loose in a world. With fervor they went. The result? The birth of the Church of Jesus Christ. So when the apostles went out, they knew exactly what they were up against and what might encounter, like Abraham, Jacob, and others before him. They went into the mission field with eyes open, but expecting the unexpected, ready for what might come their way, but keeping arms and hearts open to bless and to love every step of the way in their mission. But we know that's a risky business. But it's also rewarding business, for when you are willing to take great risk, you also will reap great rewards, not only in this story of the Bible, but its mantra of those today who understand the human psyche. Psychologists, coaches, entrepreneurs, lifelong learners, those who tell us that risk, they might feel uncomfortable, but they also create opportunities and enable growth and spur creativity and increase our chances for success in whatever ventures we might undertake. Well, most of life's meaningful moments come from taking risk, whether it's a new job, new relationship, a divorce, promotion. Every inventor, entrepreneur, every patent holder, every scientific person, business owner understands the meaning of risk. Most successful business owners have first failed several times. I know I did, and I became a successful business owner in my life, but then I let alcohol and other things distract me. But the most successful authors had their manuscripts rejected as many as 40 or 50 times, and most successful relationships come after dating people who do not feel comfortable or compatible. Yet, most churches try something once and say, well, in a resigned way, we tried that before, it didn't work, and nobody likes us, and let's just give up. So, why are we so afraid of risk-taking? Thank God that I was able to take all my failures and put them in a little thing and say, Lord, help me. And then he called me into the ministry, and I had more opportunities and more success in the business of sharing the gospel than I ever did in the business world seeking how much money I can make. Well, I digress again. I like to digress, you know. Because our fear of failure is holding us back, keeping us stuck, preventing us from moving forward, from growing in our discipleship and relying on our faith, from stepping outside of our doors. But I love the buts. As Jesus' disciples knew, as Jesus himself taught them, as we too know from the experiences of our life and our own adventures, nothing is gained when nothing is ventured. Failure is inevitable if you avoid risk. So what did Jesus give his disciples in his process of mentoring them and preparing them? It's what we still need today. We need to reframe failure, not only as an ending, but as a stone on the path of your way to success. Success comes in all different ways. It's not only about money. It's about the peace and the joy that we have in our relationship with Christ. So you see, it's about creating the kind of community that allows failures to be part of learning. And not about measuring up to a standard or goal. It makes making your faith about healing and loving and about relationships and cultivation of hope in others instead of making it a goal for you to accomplish in order to plump up your pews or fix your finances. Well, right motives plus healthy view of the future will equal a mind and heart open to risk-taking. That's the kind of healthy risk-taking that can lead you into the most fulfilling adventures of your life. Because you never know when that day will come that you will encounter the unexpected. Danger! Danger! Yeah, it's out there. There are risks for sure, but also great rewards. Humanity can sometimes be vicious, judgmental, and attacking. Times of unrest can seem to bring out the worst in human nature. And yet, people also surprise us. In one magical, unique moment, we know that we can make a difference. And sometimes when we're out there, we're thinking we're all alone, and we're not all alone. It's our nature to feel that way, but then when we get into situations, and then God helps us and leads us through it, and then we look back, and I love that little poem, Footprints in the Sand, and we realize there was only one set of footprints in the sand, and they say, oh, that's when I carried you, Jesus said. Well, it's a message that we need in the church. We are countercultural. It's our nature. And despite our own worst inclinations, we are committed to a loving, including, healing, and making a difference in people's lives. That's what we're all called to do, not just preachers, all of us. And that involves risk-taking. Human nature is complex, or life is complicated, as Ralphie says. And we have the ability within ourselves to be at our worst or our best. But unless we risk venturing out into the wilds of the world, we may fail to experience the worst, but we will never experience the heart-wrenching, amazing, spectacular worlds and rewards that come when we give God our best. Well, thank you for tuning into the message, and you know we have a biblical mandate to encourage one another in the faith, and I hope this little message encourage you in a way and challenge you. Do the very best that you can, and God will bless you forever and ever. That's all He ever expects of us, to do the best that you can, and He will give us the rest. Amen.